What's the most vulnerable part of any military operation? Not the units up front or the armor or the jets. It's that long, breakable tail behind them, the supply line.
That's what hooked me early on. My dad was a quartermaster, and his stories were never about firefights. It was the white-knuckle grind of getting fuel, ammo, and food where they had to go. Every convoy felt like bait, every mile a gamble.
Right, and that basic fragility is about to change, quietly and fast. That's the shift I wanted to pull apart with you.
Autonomous logistics. Self-driving resupply in contested areas, inventory that manages itself, drones dropping kits under fire. It sounds like sci-fi, but it's happening.
The ripple effects are huge. How do deployments adjust? What does resource management become on a battlefield that's already a puzzle box? You with me?
Totally. And before we loop in folks who are building this stuff, which I think we should, let's sketch the map. I see two families, the big built-in automation, fixed infrastructure, and the nimble gear that moves inside it.
Start big for me. Fixed infrastructure. What does that really look like in uniform?
Picture a depot, but reimagined. Not forklifts weaving around a flat maze, a soaring structure instead. Think a cathedral of racks, 50, no, closer to 60 feet high, and between them glide automated cranes.
Automated storage and retrieval systems, ASRS. Massive vertical density instead of sprawl. But it sounds locked in. If needs shift, you can't just pick up a 60-foot crane and walk away.
Exactly. It's crazy powerful and also anchored to the floor. That's why the second family, the mobile layer, is the game changer. Enter the automated guided vehicles, the AGVs.
Like the setups you see in the big e-commerce warehouses?
Same idea. Instead of a soldier hiking to a shelf for a case of MREs, a low, flat bot slides under the whole shelf, lifts, and brings it over. The human stays put. The inventory moves.
So you're not just going faster, you're deleting miles of wasted steps.
Exactly. And they're not stuck on rails. You can retask routes with a software tweak. One bot dies, the rest detour. It's a flexible, almost living network running inside that rigid skeleton.
Which brings us back to the weak spot. You've traded a long, exposed convoy for one hyper-capable hub. Doesn't that bullseye just get bigger?
It does. You collapse a spread-out risk into a single premium target, knock out that node, and in theory, you stall the whole show. The protective bubble around it becomes as vital as the machinery inside.
And the bubble can't only be concrete and fences. If you centralize and digitize, the tender spot is the data.
That's the soft underbelly. A missile announces itself. A network breach can sit there for weeks. And the whole thing runs on layered, very complicated software.
So it's not one master brain. What's Skynet for shipping pilots? Tough room. Anyway, walk me through the layers.
Bottom tier is what I'd call operational control. It's making tiny choices at machine speed, where to park the next pallet, how to route the little robot so it avoids traffic and dead ends.
The digital grunt work.
Right. Above that sits the business level control. It sees the mission set, outgoing tasks, timing of trucks, and allocates stock to meet those demands. It's the planner.
Worker bees below, mission planner above. How do they actually talk?
The integration layer. Think of it as the nervous system. It lets the low-level software command cranes and conveyors while taking intent from the strategist.
So a crack in any one layer scrambles everything. If the innovator drops, the planner can't reach the shop floor and the whole thing stalls.
It freezes. And the people we just turned into stationary pickers, they're wired into this too.
What do they actually use on the line?
A rugged, handheld, a radio data terminal. It tells them incoming shelf with field dressings. Pick five. They scan to verify. A light can ping the right bin, classic pick to light, and then they confirm. Humans as guided components in a digital flow.
Wildly efficient and kind of chillin'. Now you're relying on the network to reach that handheld if the signal gets jammed or spoofed.
The soldiers flying blind, the AGV that was rolling them, the next shelf just stops because it has no new orders. Your towering showpiece turns into the neatest, most inert heap on Earth. A perfectly organized junkyard.
That picture sticks. It nails the paradox we've been circling. Chase frictionless perfection, and you risk creating a single failure point that's worse than all the messy inefficiencies you cleaned up?
You swap 1,000 small, survivable problems, a flat on a truck, a mislaid crate for one cliff-edge risk. It hums along flawlessly until it doesn't. And when it breaks hard.
The part that keeps me up is the human cost when it goes dark. Not just at the front, but in what we forget. If a whole generation of logisticians only knows a handheld workflow, what happens in a blackout? who can still read a map and a manifest and just make it work?
That loss of analog muscle memory is real, but I still think the direction is unavoidable. We can't not move people out of the deadliest, dullest, most exposed links in the chain.
So the question for you isn't should we, it's how do we make it resilient? Redundancy, manual overrides, and training for when the screens go blank.
Exactly. You design for failure, build digital fail-safes, and drill the lights-out mode until it's boring. Don't tear down the tall warehouse, keep a candle and a paper map ready.
A candle in the cathedral. I like that. Feels like the core tension, a gleaming promise of safer, faster, smarter supply, resting on a base that might be more brittle than we want to admit.
And it's not theoretical anymore. These systems are in the field getting shaken down. The questions we've raised are live issues now.
Immediate and critical. I appreciate you walking me through it.
Anytime. This is only going to matter more from here.